With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Sancarlo, who's really, really early this year with his voter guide. Can't believe it. Covering all the fires, yet you still had time to be early.
It's amazing. You know, if it, you know anybody who knows me, they know that I am known for being early, for being on time.
That's right.
And for never missing a hit. So it's
good for you.
It's perfect.
That's great. Hey, all right, so what are we talking about here? Is this the giving the prisoners the right to vote?
Yeah, there are a couple that I've been working on this week. So one is Prop 17, which is going to give parolees the right to vote, not prisoners. And so the way that works is that once you have been granted that release by the parole board, you're under still the watchful eye of the criminal justice system here in California, but you will be granted, if Prop 17 passes, the right to vote, because you don't get that back until you're completely through the system. And so you've got, of course, criminal justice reform groups who are arguing on behalf of this. They're saying that this should work, because if you're trying to get somebody who's coming out of prison after a long stay, a short stay, whatever, and you want them to reintegrate themselves into society, then this is one small step that is actually a big step to make them feel more invested in the overall system. So that's the
right.
Optimistic.
Do prisoners, or do people who've served in prison and now they're on parole, do they even care about voting?
Well, you know, I have talked to people who have been in prison for a long time and very much look forward to that opportunity to vote. I don't know what the percentage is. You know, there are 55,000 roughly about prisoners on parole in California. Of those, probably about 40,000 or so would be eligible, if Prop 17 passed, to go ahead and be able to register and to vote. There's no breakdown on the number, what the sort of voter turnout is amongst that group. What is interesting, though, is that there's a lot of research and data that show that people who actually served longer in prison, longer sentences, and then are granted parole, that they are more, they're less likely to go back to prison, and they are more likely to find some mechanism to, I don't want to say make up for their crime, but at least to work their way, insinuate their way back into society. And the reason for that, quite simply, is that they're older and they're a little bit more mature. Now, the no side on this, and I've talked to both sides, the no side says, hang on a second, like, these guys or these men and women coming back into society, they have yet to fulfill their sentence officially because they have not finished out that parole period. And now you're saying that they should have the right to vote. Well, what about the victims? What about people that ended up dead? What about families that had their lives shattered and things like that? Should they also now be re-victimized by this? And should someone be given a right when they took the right away from someone else? So that's kind of the back and forth.
Right. If somebody is murdered, though, they never have the right to vote again.
That's the argument that comes from the no side.
And right. So maybe if somebody's murdered, that person has to give up their ballot to the parents or the brother or the sister of somebody who was murdered. So they get to vote twice, and the murderer gets to vote zero times.
That's a entirely different proposition that you will have to bring up.
I think that's a great idea, because people who have been murdered can never vote again. And I think that's it's a tough argument to make the other side of that,
Yeah,
it really is tough.
That's why right now we're seeing polling. There are a lot of people that are kind of questioning this. And it's one, again, I think when you get a little bit deeper into the stories and the details, regardless of what side you think you're on going into it, if you have an open mind, you may find yourself switching over to the other side. So once that episode should be dropping next week of the podcast, and I talked to a guy who just got out of jail. He was up in Sacramento. He got out of jail, or prison rather, after serving a 30-year sentence, and you know, he's started a nonprofit. He's been out of prison now for almost 2 years, and you know, he just talks about how important it is for him to vote. I talked to State Senator Jim Nielsen up in he technically is from Red Bluff, but his district stretches basically from North Sacramento all the way up to basically the Oregon border, and he's a staunch opponent to this. And you know, he talks about the fact that he served as the president of the parole board for a number of years. He has read thousands of these parole applications and has seen so many people work through the system and end up back in prison. And you know, he's arguing again from the victim side of things. So
right, the guy that was run over yesterday by his own truck, by those three people in Anaheim, I think it was Anaheim, they will eventually have the right to vote. He will never have the right to vote again.
Conceivably. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but it's locked off. He will never have the right to vote. You know, when his ballot comes in the mail in the next couple of weeks, because it will eventually, or maybe he was voting, you know, in person, that's another way that that family's going to be traumatized. All right. Can you stay with us?
Sure.
We have another proposition to talk about, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. 16. Conway Show. 16. All right. It's Conway Show. All right. Chris Sancarlo's with us. He takes a deep dive into all of the propositions and doesn't tell you who to vote for, but he tells you, you know, what sides are doing what and, you know, and what it means if you vote yes or you vote no. And what are we on? 16 now?
Yeah, so I guess we're going backwards. And, you know, that's an important point, too. Like, I don't really care how anybody votes. The whole idea here, for me, the greatest satisfaction I would take from this is if, you know, people, when they tune in to the podcast and they listen for, you know, 15 or 20 minutes about an issue, and they walk away with a completely different understanding, and maybe they do change their minds, but I don't care what side they vote on. I just care that people are engaged and that they're paying attention to what's going on. And this year specifically, because so much vote by mail is happening, you know, it gives people an opportunity to really kind of think this out and really take their time filling out their ballots. So that's just kind of my little plug for the podcast as it starts to be published online.
But let me ask you something, Chris. You're a smart dude. Are you embarrassed when you hear 45 times a day people telling other people where to vote and how to vote?
No.
You're not embarrassed by that?
No, you know, I mean, that's a byproduct of our system. We don't have mandatory voting like some other developed nations, and because of that, you have to focus on getting people to vote. And you know,
Don't you find people are shaming others into voting?
Nah, I mean, sure.
Like, you got to vote. If you don't vote, you can't comment on anything. You know, that kind of crap.
Yeah, and you know, I think that.
But you have the right not to vote in this country, which is great.
Yeah, exactly right. And I've worked on campaigns before, specifically in the get out the vote side of it, and strategizing how to get people to vote. And there's always been discussion about whether or not you should shame people into voting, right. And often it's something that you don't want to do because people do take it negatively. You do more harm than good often by shaming people. You got to find ways to encourage folks though too, and that's the thing. So.
Right.
That's part of where I'm at with this is, just, you know, I don't care if you vote. I don't care how you vote. Just at least think about it. And that's that. By not voting, by the way, you're still voting. And that's the thing people need to truly understand. So when it comes to Prop 16, we're talking about affirmative action. This actually has its roots in Prop 29.
I'm sorry. You said if you're not voting, you're actually voting?
Yeah, I mean, like, even by not voting, you're voting, because your decision not to vote means that either the people who are voting will have more of a say, or you just don't believe in the system at all, and by not voting, you are not taking part in the system, therefore you are voting against the system, right?
Okay, so wait, if that logic is true, and I'm not getting down on you for it, if that's true, then if you're voting... You're voting, but if you're not voting, you're also voting. Then today we can stop telling people to vote, because either way they're voting.
Yes, right? And no.
Okay.
Yeah,
good night. I mean,
like, well, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. There's this big piece of our citizenry right. that is gettable, that they do care, but they don't. They're not invested. They don't pay a lot of attention, and I'm not banging on them for it. You know, I mean,
right. Most people don't vote, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have pretty low vote turnout rates in California, and we have low voter turnout rates across the country. But my argument has always been, and again, this goes back to my days when I showed Australians around the world. Aussies would pick on me all the time, like, oh, my God, Americans just don't care. Well, I can't believe you guys don't have compulsory voting. And my argument right. to them would be this. Do you really want the dumbest, most unengaged person on your block to have the decision-making power in whatever X, Y, and Z is happening? At least in America, if you have that person, they're oblivious. They're not voting. They don't have a say. Whereas in, you know, maybe a country like Australia, they're going to show up and they're going to vote, you know, guy X, Y, Z just because they like the way his you know, eyebrows look. And
right. But aren't most get out the vote commercials targeted at the folks that are maybe you know, not engaged in society and not very bright?
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to basically with get out the vote, you're trying to get you know, roughly between 5 and 7% of the sort of voting population
right.
to pay a little bit more attention. And if you're a campaign, so if you're Biden or you're Trump, for example, you're trying to identify those people that would lean more your way and then finding messages that will speak to them specifically. So there's two different kind of get out the vote. There's the civically minded that's coming from, you know, maybe the registrar's office or the Department of State of California or, you know, some sort of federal body. And then there's the candidate or campaign focused get out the vote message, and that is always going to be more focused on the campaign itself and what it offers to people. And
right.
so that's the difference between what you're hearing. And sometimes that shaming tends to come more so from, you know, when you get celebrities involved or when
sure.
you get spokespeople involved who,
but for instance, you went to college. Where'd you graduate from?
I went to Penn State.
Okay, went to Penn State. I should remember that. You went to Penn State. I'm sure you have a lot of friends because you're a social guy. I'm sure you have a lot of friends in college, and you may still communicate with at least a handful, maybe 2 or 3 dozen of them.
I mean, my friends from college are still my best friends.
Okay, good. Then you have no problem with telling them that you know that they vote, right?
I am incredibly aware that they vote, yeah.
Okay.
Our text strings make it abundantly clear that everybody's voting.
All right. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, that the people that they're targeting to get out the vote are people who you just said shouldn't be voting.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there are people who are actively disengaged philosophically, and that's a very small percentage of the overall
right.
electorate. And then there's a really big chunk of people who, you know, they really don't understand the system, they don't know how it works, and they don't care. And then there's
right.
another big chunk, they do care, but they're also wrapped up in their own lives. And I think that's probably the biggest chunk out of everything involved here. You know, they've got their job, they've got their family, they've got, you know, their
sure.
extracurriculars. And when it comes to voting, they don't see the everyday impact. And that's fine, and I'm not criticizing it. But that's the core group, that's the belly that a lot of these Get Out the Vote campaigns are trying to reach, because those are people who they do want to be invested. They just don't really know how to invest themselves because they've got everything else in the world that they're worrying about. So how do you break through all that noise and say, listen, come out and vote for this proposition or vote for this candidate
right.
and speak to their soul? And that's the sort of campaign that, you know,
right. But that's not the campaign. The campaign that you just said would activate people like me if I weren't interested in voting. That would activate me to vote if somebody came out and said, here's why you should vote. Right. But they don't. What they do is they say, here's how to vote, and here's where to vote.
Yes. Well, here's the thing, though. And part of the reason, especially here in California, we are seeing so much of that, and certainly throughout the country, is because everything's changed. Everything had already changed before the pandemic in California, and
sure.
that we switched to this vote center model, and then, you know, more vote by mail, now all vote by mail, but still able to vote in a vote center. And so it has grown more complex, while also growing more simple. Basically, we've changed up what everybody was used to, and it takes a massive education campaign to get everybody on board, because you hear these advertisements over and over again because they're surrounding you. I mean, every time you go to a break, you hear the advertisement. Every time you're watching TV, you see it. A lot of folks, you know, they may tune in for, you know, 15, 20 minutes and only catch that advertisement once. And it takes that repetition before they really seal it in and say, oh, that's right, that's right, that's right. This year is all vote by mail. I can't wait till I get my ballot in the mail. So that kind of stuff is critically important. And that's not really shaming. That's just saying, listen, we have changed the way that we do this because we're trying to get more people involved, which is the reason these changes occurred. And in order to get more people involved, we need to make sure that everybody knows exactly what the situation is.
Okay.
And that's why we're being flooded with it, especially here in California, especially in L.A.
I get it. Are you home, by the way?
I am. Well, I'm sitting in my truck outside my house.
Okay. Buddy, I really appreciate you coming on. Let's do it again next week because that's a great discussion. And I think that people get more out of a discussion like that than they do simply by telling you where and when to vote. I don't think that motivates people.
I 100% agree with that. And that's why people are out knocking on doors. And, well, not
all right, next week, when you come on, I'd like to ask you, because you've worked on the Get Out the Vote, I want to ask you next week, what is the number one reason why people don't vote?
Sure.
Okay. All right, we'll do that next week. Excellent.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.